Okay, good morning. We'll begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. That's our morning of worship together. I want to say something about church. If you're listening on the internet and, you know, you'd like to maybe come to church, but got to dress up and come and da-da-da. No, don't dress up. Just whatever you got on, just that's fine. Come on. Years ago, Tyson had his children here, and they come in their pajamas. And the first time that happened, it's pretty smart. So they came in. So whatever you got to wear tomorrow, or after Sunday, just wear it. Whatever it is. Doesn't take any kind of dressing up or anything like that. So it'll, any way you want to come in, but be fine. So just plan on coming and worry about the clothes later. Let's close and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the teaching of the things we have there. The hypostatic union of Christ, Father. So many things that we need to learn and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, let's begin with the word of hymn.
The hymn is first one in our hymnal, number one, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Would you stand together with us and sing?
Reading from the scriptures is from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living with them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between the Greek and the Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Sicilian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, who has ever complained against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
All right, would everyone continue with me to stand and sing number 391? Would you all please join me in 391? Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, these soldiers of the cross. With pride of royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished. And Christ is Lord indeed. Trust and up for Jesus, the trumpet shall obey. For into the mighty conflict, in this victorious day, you who are in now serve him against an unknown moon.
Couple of things that I do want to make announcement of. First of all, on Saturday, May the 20, what is that? The 28th. Mike's day is to just talk about him. Huh? Good things, just good things. And so I want to give you that. And what's the time is that?
2:00.
So let's plan on you can be there. Saturday afternoon at 2:00, and be a good time to just talk about Mike. And now let's see.
Where's it going to be?
Where's it going to be? That's what I was.
I'm sorry.
Across the street from my house. What's it called?
All right.
It's NEMA Gospel. Church. It's on the Apostle. 7815 Arapahoe.
We'll be putting that on the internet also with the date and time on again. Okay, any other announcements? Okay. Yes.
A good one. You know, we've been praying for my niece Sheila and her last two chemos, her numbers are going down. So that's some progress.
Good.
So pleased to hear that. And also, we need to be in prayer for Fran. She is in lockdown in her assisted living. They have 5 cases of COVID. So for 5 days, they cannot leave their little apartment. They're bringing their food to them. So prayer, please.
Absolutely. Okay. Please be in prayer for Fran. Now, what else? Anything else that we need? Yes.
Just prayers and thanksgiving. My brother's doing really, really well.
All right. Let's talk about it.
Therapy. He's at Caris. And that they're doing 3-plus hours daily.
Daily. Wow. Wonderful.
Well, we're talking PT, OT, and speech. So they're checking all of that. But he's loving it.
Good.
Okay.
He's progressing so quickly. They're amazed how well he's doing.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Every time I talk to him, something new he's done, you know.
So you need to talk to them about doing some work. Anything else? Yes.
We have met a gentleman and his family. He's going through some serious marital issues. His name is Mike. And if you could just be a prayer for Mike. He and I had an opportunity to talk for a few minutes yesterday, and just trying to point him back to the biblical answers as opposed to, y'all, he went to counseling, and I'm sitting on Mike, but he went to counseling, and literally in 4 sessions, the counselor had never having talked to his wife, in 4 sessions, she said, she doesn't love you anymore, you need to separate. And I'm like, you're kidding. And I told him to fire his counselor.
Yeah, that's for sure. Immediately.
And it's not about me, it's about Mike. But, y'all, that's... If we aren't pointing people back to the Bible and back to... There's a place for counseling. But if it's not biblically based counseling, it is a mess. And it's just going to take a mess and turn it into a bigger one. So, just, you know, please be in prayer for Mike as he tries to figure this out.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll be in prayer for Mike. Does Mike and his wife have children?
Yes. Okay. They have a mixed family of his kids, her kids. It's a bit of a...
They really need our prayers. They need our prayers.
They need our prayers.
And our prayers,
please.
Yes.
Well, what Chris was saying reminded me of the magazine that we get. It's called Psycho Heresy. And there's just so much heresy in the psychological. And, of course, a lot of these, even biblical bases, they're putting the world's way, God's way together. But if it's not biblically based, it is psychoheresy.
Yeah, very good. I really enjoy that psychotherapy. All right, anything else? Okay.
I came across one of the other.
I enjoyed the book, the magazine.
Heresy.
Heresy. okay. The man that owns the property needs more money. Needs $200 more. And if you look at it from the standpoint of what's out there, we're still not paying that highly, but it's a lot of money. So we'll be making up a decision about that in that respect. So let's be in prayer in that regard. And let's be in prayer regard to offertory, taking care for the young people, the internet, and here, and let's just be in prayer. Yes?
Remember, we've got a congregational meeting first Sunday of next month.
Next May.
Yeah, it'll be after our fellowship. We'll stick around and
June.
And talk. Yeah, June. Yeah.
First
month. Yeah.
Now, the will be before the offertory, before we eat. We'll come back right at prayer, and then we'll have the meeting, and then we'll eat. Okay, that'll be good. Okay, let's go. Yes.
Hi.
I didn't hear, but camp's coming up June 10th through 13th for our camp, our kids. Do we already say this? Okay. So it's very close. It's less than 4 weeks away. Sure. And just ask you, our theme is glorify. And that's what we're going to be talking about with the kids for those 4 days. And just in everything that we do to glorify God. It's
give us that date again.
June 10th, which is a Friday, through Monday, June 13th.
Okay.
So just asking for prayer for preparation, for the teaching, for the campers, to just their hearts to be prepared. Today is the deadline, the last day to sign up for campers. So if you guys know of anyone, family members, grandchildren, neighbors, we're putting it out there. We know there's a need for kids to come and
okay.
What's the count so far?
As of this morning, it was 65 kids that we had coming.
Good.
So
that's good.
Ages from kids going into fourth grade next year up to 12th grade, so it's more by grade going into 12th grade next year.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And we have a lot of younger campers, which has been our prayer for the last 3 years or so. So God is really answering that prayer on younger kids coming in, which is great.
Well, we have a nice group of brand new kids.
There is probably close to 25 of those are brand new kids that are
good. Good. Okay. Let's be in prayer about doing on it, and then let's be in prayer about the money. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, it's our challenge, our joy, to tell others of Jesus Christ. It is our joy, Heavenly Father, to grow from the Word of God. We pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use this assembly for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Join us once again as we tune ourselves in for the Bible lesson number 448. Hymn number 448 is Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. Is worth the living just.
Okay, I hope everyone has a handout for today, the work of Christ on the cross. People, we've got to tell people out there in the world about Jesus Christ on the cross. But you and I better learn there's so much more on the cross than just our salvation. So much more. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight, so this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the work of Christ and all that He has done and all that He's doing. We pray, Father, Your Spirit now will come teaching us, encouraging us to understand more of the Word of God. To this end, pray, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with open your Bibles. Or I guess just the reading. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 14, 15, and 16. Verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, hostility, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace. Verse 16, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, but it happening, put to death the enmity. Now, let's start verse 14. It starts with the word "for." Now, I'm not going to go this close or this slow and everything, but I want to get this down. For. To grasp this is simple, far, let's go back to verse 13 and verse 11 is what I want to do. Verse 11, therefore, introduces the conflict between Jews and Gentiles. Then verse 13, but, so verse 14, verse 11, therefore, verse 12, 13, but, therefore, but, now, in Christ Jesus, you have formerly were far off, having been brought near by blood of Christ. Now, verse 14, for He Himself, this immediately sets up that's for the Lord Jesus Christ as being unique, and it emphasizes His work on the cross. This whole thing is about that. And it's not going to talk about our salvation, the whole book. Now, people, please understand there is so much more from the cross than just our salvation. So much. Once you have pressed on to maturity, taking the Hebrews chapter 6, press on to maturity, you start grasping much more about Jesus Christ than just paying for our salvation. Now, our peace. Well, that's not correct. This is the blessing from Christ. It has the definite article, the peace, the preceding peace. The peace refers to something, peace that is well known by all people. Christ and no other has solved the problem of the relationship of Christ and man. Christ has solved the problem of man with man. First of all, between God, and now man with man. Jesus Christ's work is making two different groups, Jews, Gentiles, into one. That is the church. Christ changes the distance of the covenant of promise from the Gentiles, who were far and far away. Now they are very near. The former separation of Jew and Gentile is called the barrier of the dividing wall. The barrier of the dividing wall. The word barrier, that word itself means fence, a fence, wall, hedge, railing. The word dividing wall is literally the middle wall of Jerusalem. Now, to talk some things about history. Josephus used this word as a barrier in the temple at Jerusalem that divided the court of the Gentiles from the temple proper. These words were described on this wall partition 100 BC, first of the last 100 years of BC. This was written actually there. No foreigner may enter within the barrier, the barricade, which surrounds the secretary and endurance enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his enduring death. This death was upheld by the Roman authority. By that I simply mean they were ruled, and so they recognized the rule of what was going on about the church, about the temple. Paul, for example, was in trouble because he is accused. He did not do it, but he was accused of taking Trophimus, a Gentile of Ephraim, beyond this side of the wall where this was inscribed in there in Acts 21. Now, Jesus was known before his birth as the peacemaker. Before his birth, he's known as the peacemaker. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. A child will be born to you, and a son will be given to you, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 52:7. How delightful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. Now let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace fell upon him. And by his scourging, we're healed. 57:19. Isaiah 57:19. Creating the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who far away and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Now, the pronoun in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, which reads, he himself, is important because it is emphatic by a position in the sentence. In fact, some people like to say, he himself. But we'll just do it the one time, he himself. Now, what was so interesting, in World War II, there are some of you that are back here remember that. Not many, but there's some of you. All right. Now, the interesting about World War II was the manner the Jews were treated. Millions died, but 75,000 Jews also went to Palestine before it became the nation of Israel. Well, now, I bring that up to bring you up where we are in our study. Look at Ephesians 2:11 and following. The world was divided between the Jews and Gentiles. But look at two events. First, that happened here. First, the work of Jesus Christ in taking two parts and making them one, Jew and Gentile. But then, in A.D. 70, not only the first part was the crucifixion, now in A.D. 70, Rome came in and ended Israel's history for a period of time. Now, chapter 2, verse 14. Made both groups into one. Then in verse 15, one man. And finally, verse 16, one body. From one to one new man to one body. Now, look what Jesus did with the one. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. From the Greek word for peace, we find a woman's or girl's name, Irene, which means harmony. Now, don't plan on that happening if you have a daughter, but that's what the word means. It means harmony, welfare, tranquility, unity, blessing. Now, that's just her name. That isn't what's might going to happen, but that's a name. And can mean peace, but generally means harmony. It is talking about Jesus Christ, who brought harmony between Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ is our harmony, our tranquility, our peace. For he himself is our peace, who makes both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one, and broke down the barrier of the divided wall. Jesus Christ is our tranquility, our blessing. Never forget that Jesus is our blessing. Don't forget that. If He gives you anything, it is a blessing to you. If you're a man, He may give you a woman to marry. If you're a woman, He may give you a man to marry. You are really going to enjoy it. It took a long time in my life for that to happen, 67 years, but I didn't think He was going to do it. I thought, okay, God's going to let that one go, but He didn't let it go. Now, Jesus did something wonderful in our study. He broke down the barrier. The Greek word is to abolish, to annihilate, to destroy. Broke down the barrier. To abolish, to annihilate, to destroy. He has abolished the barrier of the divided wall. The Jews built one of the best distinctions, or racial distinctions, in history. They built for it. The barrier of the dividing wall. It is actually a wall that the Jews built around the temple. The Gentiles couldn't go in part one, past the one of the wall. And then there was another wall, and they could not go far any further. Only Jews could go further. Gentiles could be around the outer court, but never past the middle court. This was the middle wall. Now, why do we call it the middle wall? Because the temple had walls, and they had outer walls. Then they had a wall in between called the middle wall, because the middle wall was where the Jews could go, but the Gentiles could not pass it. Now, here is the great racial wall. If any Gentile ever came past it, they killed him. Death was the penalty for any non-Jew entering. Now, so this was a strong class distinction, racial division. And if you would, from the Jewish point, if you looked at it from this Jewish standpoint, it was the worship that allowed them to go in. So, what the Jews built was one of the most honest expressions in history. It was a strong division, but it was an honest expression in history. But the way everyone has a middle wall in your soul. I started to spend time in here, but decided not to. But everyone knows you have your own. You know it, defend it, define it, and be aware of it at all the time. Now, continuing. The Jews had this middle wall with something worthwhile behind the wall in the temple. It was the place of worship only for them. What is so interesting is that part of this wall is still in existence today, right now today. Now, until the war of 1967, the Jews were not allowed even where they are today. But now, because of the war in 1967, they can go in there. In fact, I talked with other Jews and things. In 1967, had the Jews made a decision at that point to take care of the upper of the area that is now the wall just for the Islam
Temple Mount,
it would be for them. but they decided not to do it. So Islam's took in, and that's what it is today. So you can imagine how important this was to the Jews to at least have the one room, one mural. The Arabs have that in the upper area, and they won't let the Jews go by their walls. They cannot. A Jew cannot at all. A Gentile can visit, but a Jew is not allowed even there. The Jews come to that wall, the Wailing Wall, and they come there to pray. Judith and I went this wall, one side with the men on one side, and the women on the other side, the ladies on the other side. Jesus broke down this wall. Jesus broke it down. He did at the cross. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are related by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you enter positionally into Christ, union with Christ. At that moment, the principle in your soul, if you know the truth, the middle wall, our petition, is broken down. Now, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, our harmony, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, one, and having abolished the divided wall of the barrier. So let's take up a few things. One, the distinction between Jew and Gentile, emphasized by religious Jews and Judaizers, is obligated in the church age. It's taken care of. It's removed. Two, circumcision, again, has no spiritual advantage over someone who's not in circumcision. Now, what I'm showing you here is we've moved into new areas of the cross of Christ. It broke down the barrier. We know it's our salvation, but now we're doing new things. The salvation, the barrier between Jew and Gentile is broken. Circumcision has no spiritual advantage over the uncircumcision. Why? Because of what happened on the cross. Three, because of reconciliation. Reconciliation. What in the world does it mean? Quickly, restoration of mankind and God the Father by the work of Christ on the cross. Very simple. Now, and positional truth. Believers truly associated with Christ. Now, all pseudo standards are removed and replaced by the position in Christ. When you think of a position in Christ, remember this is the strategic or the overall victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the angelic conflict. Now, people, I hope you're here to learn the Word of God. Just take a lot of churches around the United States today. We've looked at reconciliation. We've looked at the circumcision. We've now looked at the victory of the angelic conflict. So many things that need to be understood. To order, to achieve this victory, he had to become a member of the human race. He is God, and he became a member of the human race by means of the virgin birth. Why does he need to be the virgin birth? He had to live on the earth free from personal sins, being born on earth, but born of a virgin. No man is involved. Men pass on the sin character, the sin to from one person to the next. Men do it, not women. Women will have it. Ladies have the sin wall, but they don't pass it. That's what the men do in birth. Now, by birth, he was free from the imputation of Adam's sin. Got to understand imputation of Adam's sin. Passing in of sins. And the sin nature. And through impeccability, flawlessness, and hypostatic union. So much involved. But we've got to go on in it. So we've got imputation of Adam's sin, the impeccability, the hypostatic union, Jesus Christ by God, and perfect man. He was able to go to the cross and achieve the all-inclusive strategic victory, of the angelic conflict. So again, because of the reconciliation and positional truth, all pseudo standards are removed. Pseudo standards between different people, different religions, denominations, and replaced by position in Christ. An example of a pseudo standard would be like circumcision. That's a pseudo standard. Now, 4. Both Jew and Gentile have the same position in Christ. When we are born again, there's equality for the first time in history. Our Constitution, the nation in America, says that all people are born equal. What Thomas Jefferson meant was that all colonists are born equal with the same rights of self-government. We are born unequal, physically born unequal. But once you are born again in Christ, you are truly spiritually born equal. We're all equal. God accomplishes in a second what the human race has never accomplished in all human history, and that is to provide equality for our members of the human race, being members with each other. 5. Jesus Christ makes two kinds of peace harmony. Two kinds of peace are harmony. Okay, 1. Harmony, our peace, harmony that removes the wall between Jew and Gentile. This means that all the distinctions between them are false and based upon the prejudice and the pattern of life and thinking when we were Gentiles. Secondly, so first of all, that is done between the one between Jew and Gentile. The second one for harmony, I'm listed to 2. The second harmony is a peace that joins Jew and Gentile to God, removing the entity between God and the believer, and a relationship between the believer and the victory of Jesus Christ. And 6, reconciliation. That word again. Reconciliation removes the barrier between God and man, as well as false barriers between man and man. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, our harmony, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, one, and having abolished the divided wall of the barrier. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, hostility, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might take the two, one new man, thus establishing peace. I was thinking yesterday when the man from Pennsylvania came into New York, killed 10 people, blacks and whites, totally racial, and just thought that in World War II, the ratio was Gentile and race and Jews. And people are still dealing with this problem. We have no problem there. The minute we meet another believer, we're joined together immediately, forever. But that's what Christ did on the cross. And it's going to continue on the cross, going to continue in the world until he takes over as king. When he is a king, then the breaking of down of people of race will be over. Now, note in verse 15, that's where we are. By abolishing, while in verse 14 we translate and broke down with or by abolishing, both of them by the word abolishing. In verse 14, we have an aorist active participle of the verb meaning to loose, to unite. Now, I underlit it, but it said to be to destroy, to abolish. That's out of a lexicon. That's out of a Greek lexicon. The word means to loose, to unite, to destroy, break down, break up, to abolish. While in verse 1, we repeat the aorist active participle part, only now we have a new verb. The word means to waste. Abolish is repeated. And do away with. And destroy is repeated again. So, in both cases, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ doing them and he does both on the cross. Both accomplishes reconciliation. Both of them. Now, verse 15. By abolishing in his flesh the cross. Just stop. Think about it. Think about what happened while he was on the cross. Spend time on it. Not right now, but your time. There is so much involved here. He became a member of the human race at the time of creation. At the human race was created, it was known by God, and he was to become a member of the human race to resolve the angelic conflict. We're going to have to spend some time just on the angelic conflict, 2 or 3 hours. It requires about 6 or 7 hours to do it right. Now, it was also known by God that the first Adam would fail, necessitating the second Adam, Jesus, coming into the world without a sin nature and without an act of personal sins and without the imputation of Adam's original sin, so that he might actually resolve the angelic conflict. One man, Jesus Christ, resolved the whole angelic conflict. We did not go and be part of that. That's what he did. Now, what we are seeing is the number of things that had to take place on the cross. He had to supply supply us with salvation. But there were so many other things that take place on the cross. He had to defeat Satan, for an example, on the cross. He also broke the barrier between Jew and Gentile on the cross. So he made two, Jew and Gentile, into one, the church. That's just the beginning point of things that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Few believers are taught of the strategic victory of Jesus Christ, and yet it is so important to us. Every believer is in union with Christ at the right hand of God, the place of ultimate union, victory. And as in Hebrews, Jesus superior to the Jews at that time, to the angels even at that time. We spend time on that in Hebrews on Wednesday night. But let's look at Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and if you believe in Christ as Savior, you have, keep seeking the things above, which Christ is, seated at the right hand. I don't know how old you were when you were born. I was 7. I didn't know any of this stuff. Now, I learned it, even at the Baptist Church, began to learn it. But it's so important what happened with us at the cross. Now, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. It's exciting to listen to all that's going on in the world right now. It's interesting, very interesting. And the study right now, Judith and I were watching last night about the coming in of a set the enemy of the communism,
socialism.
And it's just amazing to study the breaking down of all of this.
It's on Fox Nation. It's called America versus Socialism.
Okay.
China.
And
very interesting.
Fox 3. Okay.
Fox Nation.
Colossians 3:3. For you have died. That's very important. You've died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When I was reading at that, I couldn't just leave it alone. I had to read Galatians 2:20. So there's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Not in the Son of God, of the Son of God, because Galatians chapter 3 is going to deal with the Holy Spirit. So here it is, the work of the Holy Spirit, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Holy Spirit, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Colossians and Galatians, tremendous. Now, so that our position in Christ at salvation means we are with him in the strategic conflict. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which means the total alienation, the hostility between God and man. This hostility is made up, first of all, of sin. For all have sinned and fail of the glory of God. But this is only personal sin. We are sinners. First of all, just when we're born. We are born with sin nature. I wouldn't tell somebody just had a baby, that story, but that's the truth. See? And we are born with imputation to reckon over to one's account of Adam's sin. Secondly, the penalty of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. Thirdly, minus righteousness. No righteousness of God cannot have fellowship with us. Unlike unrighteousness of man. The enmity or the hostility is a barrier between man and God. A barrier that we cannot move around, move over, get out of the way. We cannot handle this enmity. Therefore, a barrier which God himself must handle. In the handling of this barrier, notice that Christ came in the flesh. Now, reading dictionary, there are three major imputations in the Bible. Imputations. One, of Adam's sin. Imputation of Adam's sin. Romans 5:12-21. Two, of the sin of the human race imputed to Christ. Now, I started just leaving it go at that, but I want to give a few things about it. But first of all, of Adam's sin. Now, secondly, of giving Jesus Christ all the sins of the human race. This involves a judicial imputation. Judicial from God the Father, because Jesus Christ was not associated with any sin related to himself. This means that Jesus Christ was not associated to personal sins. He volunteered to take the judgment of every member of the human race. He himself bore the judgment of our sins and made him who knew no sin to be sin. Isaiah 53:5-6, 1 Peter 2:27, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, point three, of the imputation of righteousness of God, imputation to the believer. Taking the sins of mankind does not save mankind. Taking care of our sins doesn't take care of our salvation. This is the negative of the gospel. There is a positive side of the gospel. The positive side that is required is righteousness. Every person is required righteousness for salvation. It is required of every believer. How does anyone get the righteousness of God? How do we get it? The grace of God imputes it to everyone who believes by faith in Jesus Christ. God is righteous. And God requires righteousness for salvation. So the only righteousness by which one is saved is the perfect righteousness of God himself, which is he gives to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. There is no way that a person can produce this righteousness on their own well-doing. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. When this righteousness is imputed by God to the believer, it becomes his forever as a judicial act with various passages of Scripture. Now, there is so much to understand about Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Every believer must understand the hypostatic union. Hypostatic union. Very quickly, we'll just begin it off. One, let's deal with the definition. What does hypostatic mean? It means different or difficult. It may be difficult, but it is important. So let's get it down. In the person of Jesus Christ are two natures. Impersonable, united, without mixture or loss of separate identity. That is the imputation. Two natures in one, without the loss of either one. Without the loss or transfer of properties or attributes, the union being personal and personal. Now, spend time looking at it. The Greek word for hypostatic union is in the book of Hebrews. It's in the book of Hebrews is the word hypostatic. Now, it's used three times. I want you to get this out and to look at this. In verse chapter 1, 3, and the exact representation in chapter 3, 14, and 11, 1, of our assurance is the word assurance. So the word is translated two different ways. Exact representation and our assurance. The two natures involves, first of all, the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is sovereignty, absolute righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. Sometimes I get a little upset that y'all know all that too well, so I can't say that all the time. But we need to do that every now and then. Just look at God's essence, all of them. Okay. He is therefore co-equal with the Father, co-equal with Father, the Holy Spirit, both of which have identical characteristics. The Jews say that we're wrong. We're wrong in the three points of God here. They say that we're believing an ultra God. But that's not true. There's the same one God. When the Bible says God is one, it always referring to its essence. They have the same amount of sovereignty, the same amount of righteousness, the same amount of justice, and carry on. All three persons of the Trinity are co-equal and co-eternal, and therefore they are said to be one from the standpoint of essence or character. Jesus Christ is also different. Here's the difference. He's different from the other members of the Trinity. He's different from the Father, different from the Holy Spirit, in that he is a man, having a body, having a soul, and having a human spirit, so that he has two natures. That's hypostatic union, right there. God and man in one person forever. Different from man, that he is God. Different from God, in that he is man. Therefore, is the God-man totally unique. The scripture passage, are given the several different scriptures passages, and then we will continue on the hypostatic union next Sunday morning. So we will continue at this point at that Sunday. Any questions? All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. We do thank you and we do praise you for our salvation. But thank you so much for so much more. So much more given to us. Given us the power to understand these things by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God. The Word of God for us to learn who and what Christ is. We take these things, Father, very important to our lives, our individual life, our prayer lives. So, Father, we thank you for the hypostatic union. We thank you for the division removed at salvation with Jews and Gentiles. All people in the human race the same when they believe in Christ. How marvelous is that? We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.